Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it.
Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you feel like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach.
Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Love at First Sight still exists. It's available at your local shelter. This June 7th to 9th, join the Pedigree Adoption Drive, and the Pedigree brand will reimburse your dog adoption fees nationwide. Pedigree knows that bringing a dog into your home not only opens their heart, it can open yours too.
Visit pedigree.com/adoption-drive to learn more and see full terms and conditions.
Help! I suck at dating. With Dean Ungler and Jared Haven, an iHeartRadio podcast.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome to an all-new episode of Help, I Suck at Dating. And boy, we got a doozy for you today. We have the one and only Becca Martinez.
A doozy?
I don't want to say Becca from Ari season, because I feel like you don't identify as that.
You've transcended.
You did, but
Thank you.
That's, I guess, how people would maybe know the name. Becca Martinez from Ari season, but most importantly, crushing life everywhere else. Becca, how's it going?
It's going pretty good. How are you guys? Last time I saw each of you, Jared, I think I saw you at an In-N-Out with Nick Viall and Ashley like 4 years ago in 2018 after like a boohoo party.
Yep.
So funny. And then Dean, last time I saw you, I think I was like literally 8.5 months pregnant or something.
Where
like
was that?
We recorded something for Colton season of The Bachelor with Ashley.
They wanted the two snarky people to come record something for them, I think, is what it was.
I thought
the last time I saw you was we went to a bunch of us went to dinner somewhere like in Beverly Hills or something, and it was right before Paradise or something like that.
I don't remember
exactly.
I was about to push out a baby.
Crazy. You were about to push out a baby. How are the babies doing?
They're good. They're crazy. 2-year-old and a 3-year-old. Jared, how is it being a dad?
It's fantastic. Being a business owner is quite different. My question to you is, do you think that the first was harder or the second?
First.
Really?
I think the first because life before kids, you're just cruising, man. It's like your time is on your, I mean, even when you have like a full-time job, you like leave your job. I mean, I was a nanny. So I was like, I would leave my job. I would go home. And then after 5 p.m., life was mine until like, 8 a.m. the next morning for the most part. And then when you add a kid to the mix, suddenly it's like all these other factors. And also you think in your head like, oh, I'm going to bring them everywhere with me. Like, we're still going to do our normal life. Like, yeah, we're going to. And then suddenly it's like, you're like, I can't go to that party because it's at 6:30 and we have to do the bedtime routine. And like, I don't know. I felt like that was a big shift. But then with number two, you're like, I've already been doing this. Whatever. What's another one?
So mine and Ashley's biggest fear, because it's definitely more on Ashley. She's the one who has to get pregnant again, which pregnancy by far is, I mean, it's a beautiful, wonderful thing, but it also is the worst from an outsider's perspective. But it just the idea of taking care of a baby, but adding in a toddler scares the shit out of me.
Oh yeah. I mean, I got pregnant when Ruth was 7 months old. So that was wild. But also we were like, okay, we just did this. Like, we just did the crazy newborn phase and we already have all the gear. Like, let's go. And it was kind of nice. I liked doing it. And now they play together, like they're 2 and 3.5. They're like, they're buddies. So I don't know. I recommend keeping them close together. Otherwise, you have to start all over again.
I know. That's quite terrifying as well. So are you done? Do you think you want another?
No, I definitely want. I mean, I would have like 4 more, but I think Gray is like, after even Ruth, he's like, I'm done. And then after Frank, he's like, I'm done. Watch, we're going to have like 2 more. And he'll keep saying I'm done. But I feel like 2 more, but like in a few years. We want to live our lives a little more.
by your own logic, you got to start working on that pretty soon because you want to be close together, right?
I know. Well, no, I'll do another set of two. So I'll wait like 4 years. And then two close together. Yeah.
Nice. And then they can be like best friends growing up. And then when they get to become adults, they can all become best friends later on. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. So I don't know. I'm one of five and I thought it was so much fun having a lot of siblings. And like, I always said, I wish I had more brothers and sisters. So I don't know. I think it's fun.
Yeah, definitely. What else is going on in the life of Becca? We haven't, like you said, we haven't all seen each other in a while. Fill us in. I mean, we all know you've got your podcast over there.
It's going called on 4 years.
Chatty Broads, if I remember correctly.
Chatty Broads, we do, yeah, three. Wait, what did you say it was called?
Chatty Broads?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I thought you said Bratty Broads for a minute. I
was Bratty like, Broads?
It's like, that's what my mom calls it. We're doing like three episodes a week. It's crazy. This is going to be our last bachelor season that we're going to be covering on the show. We took a break for a couple seasons and then we had to rev it up again for the double bachelorettes, which has actually been a blast. I've been loving it. And then, yeah, so we're doing that. And otherwise, you know, we're talking about all kinds of life stuff as one does.
How do you do 3 weeks? Because we struggle with one a week.
Yeah.
Even one a week is.
I mean, well, also we're on a pretty set schedule. So like every Wednesday I drive up about an hour away from where we record. I drive up to Eagle Rock and we do two episodes. And then actually it's really funny. Both of our partners. So my boyfriend and her husband do a third episode a week together and they call it Chatty Bros. So they kind of throw in a little extra segment, but I mean, we've been grinding out at least two episodes for about 3.5 years. And then about a year ago, we threw in the third, but I think we've just like been in the routine of it. And I am not the person who stays on top of the schedule in that relationship for sure. I'm definitely the one who's like, let's just take 3 weeks off. And she's like, we need to like bank some episodes and then we can go on vacation. So
yeah,
I feel like Jess, my co-host, kind of keeps things in check.
I mean, that's kind of how it is with Jared, too. If it wasn't for Jared, this podcast would turn to mush. It basically is mush, but it's a more of like a solid version of the mush.
Yeah, it's like when Dawson takes a and like it's kind of mushy, but kind of solid. That's our podcast right there. It's somewhat solid, somewhat mushy, but then sometimes
there's like a crust on the outside and then it's just.
Yeah.
Like
so there's some, you know, hardness to it. But at the same time, there are times where it's just a complete blowout city where it's just mush. So
how do you define that? How do you find the mush of the podcast? What do you mean?
Oh, like me doing recording in an empty basement right now. So there's a solid echo. I'm trying to talk as close to the mic as possible, but of course we're moving. And we're moving.
Me recording been the past, from a Home Depot parking lot.
Pretty much. Yeah. And him recording from a Home Depot parking lot. This is Help I Suck at Dating.
Becca, I got a question for you on the topic of kids. We have this Page Six article, and I know it's Page Six, so who the heck really knows what they're talking about?
Oh, Jesus.
But it says, Bachelor alum Becca Martinez reveals she's becoming a foster parent.
No, I'm not. Dude, people, oh my God. Okay, it's so funny. There was a headline recently, too, because I did a TikTok about how when I went on The Bachelor, I had to buy a bunch of clothes at Nordstrom Rack and then I kept the tags on and I returned them after I got back from The Bachelor.
Nice.
Cause I had to quit my job. You know how it is. I had to quit my job to go on the show. I had been traveling the summer leading up to the show. So I had spent like a lot of my savings. So I was like, well, like I got to do what I got to do. And then this headline came out, Bachelor star Becca Martinez admits to committing fraud. And then it was this whole thing about like
what publication wrote that article? Fraud?
I think it was like Page Six or something.
Talk about hyperbole.
No, not Page. And then the article was so dramatic. It was like, this is technically fraud and like fraud can be an arrestable offense. And it was just like so dramatic. No, I'm not becoming a foster parent. These journalists need to do their research. I am volunteering for a program called CASA. And what it is you become a court-appointed special advocate. It's a volunteer position. And essentially what you're doing is you're an advocate. You get paired with a foster youth and you become an advocate for them. So, you know, a caseworker will have 30 to 40 kids at one time, which is actually crazy if you think about it. Like if you only have 20 work days in a month, like how much time can you actually dedicate to try to like figure out what's going on in each case? So like what a CASA might do is you know, try to figure out and do some sleuthing, try to figure out if there's family members that a child can be placed with, like trying to figure out, make sure their educational needs are met, trying to make sure that their medical needs are met. Like, they're basically the eyes and ears of the court. And then you have to do court reports and show up in court and give the report based on things that you believe are in the best interest of the child. You meet with the child once or twice a month. So it's a pretty serious position, but yeah, we're not fostering, although I would like to do that someday. But I'm kind of doing this cost of volunteering as to kind of get a better handle on like how the court system works and how the dependency court works and all of that, and get some insight into that whole process.
Why'd you want to get insight into that?
I mean, I think that I've always had a passion for kids for sure. Like, you know, I was a nanny for 5 years before going on The Bachelor, and it's just something I've always been really passionate about. And in the past year, I was just learning a lot more about like foster care. There's literally like millions of kids that are in the foster system, and it's just a messed up system, and it's messed up for kids, for parents, for resource families. So I don't know, I just kind of wanted to get involved, and I'm always sitting on the sidelines like kind of complaining about stuff, and I'm like, well, I should probably like actually take some of my time and invest some of my time and energy into doing something instead of complaining about all the stuff I think is fucked up. So yeah.
At Walmart, there's a whole collection of Black-led products that fit into your daily routine. We encourage you to show Black founders some love, not just during Black History Month, but all year long. There is power in every purchase.
Every time we purchase from a Black-led brand, we make room for another Black-led brand. Black founders and the products they bring to the table are creating a whole new world of choices at Walmart.
Some amazing Black-owned businesses that are available at Walmart include The Lip Bar, Zach and Zoe Honey, Partake Cookies. The list goes on and on. Go to walmart.com/blackandunlimited to discover all the amazing Black-owned products you can add to your daily routine.
True love is always being excited from the first moment you see one another and every time after that. It's taking long walks together in the summer, gazing longingly into each other's eyes, and, well, watching their tail wag when they chase a squirrel in the yard.
The Pedigree brand asked about believing in love at first sight. And honestly, the answer is yes.
Ashley adopted Lois, and I didn't know until I actually picked her up and saw her with my own eyes that we were taking this dog home. But I took one look at Lois, and my life has never been the same, and I love her so much, and I'm very grateful for that moment that Ashley decided to adopt Lois. So it really was love at first sight for me.
Adopting a dog can lead to a lifetime of meaningful connections. A Pedigree loyalty survey revealed that 95% of dog owners say that the bond they have with their dogs is closer than expected. And another Pedigree loyalty survey revealed 90% of first-time dog owners report that having a dog improved at least one relationship in their lives.
We have adopted two dogs. First was Pappy, and the second was Alistair. And I got to tell you, I didn't know I could love such a little creature so much. With Pappy, he just stole our hearts right away. He was so attached to us. And even with Alistair, we got him, and we fostered at first and then decided to adopt not long after that.
Just a few days after.
They bring so much light into our lives. After we lost Pappy, Kaylin and I agreed to maybe take a couple months off from having a dog in our lives. And not even a week later, we couldn't stand it anymore. There's just so much light that coming home to a dog brings into our lives. And whenever we're on a trip, all we can ever think about is coming back home and seeing Alistair. So I love adoption. I think adopting dogs is the way to go. They are so grateful for it. They definitely love you harder because they know what you took them from and the great life that you're giving them.
Real love can exist between pet and pet parent. Pedigree is committed to helping more dogs find loving homes, and we can attest that love at first sight is closer than you think. It's available at your local dog shelter.
Find love at first sight with the Pedigree Adoption Drive June 7th to 9th, and the Pedigree brand will reimburse your dog adoption fees nationwide. Visit pedigree.com/adoption-drive to learn more about the adoption drive and to see full terms and conditions.
Everyone knows how much Dean and I love to travel, especially after enduring a Colorado winter. I'll take any chance I can to be in a sunny, beachy place right about now.
Well, Kaylin, I have the perfect place we can travel to next. In Puerto Rico, there are nearly 300 beaches and 300 miles of coastline. And when it comes to photography, the landscape is unbeatable.
I think I need to go there for a relaxing vacation before baby number two comes, which is great, but also I'm very nervous. Puerto Rico. offers everything from secluded coves with white sand and crystalline water to beautiful black sand beaches.
There's no passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
So you obviously have two kids. You're with Grayston. So it's Grayston, right? With a T?
Grayston. Yeah, there's a T in there. Yeah.
Love that name. Good God. So how'd you guys meet? I don't think, because you are an anomaly within Bachelor franchise because you're so well known and every, you know, Chatty Broads is a huge successful podcast, but people kind of, you're like one of those people that like, if you're a fan of the show, people are like, oh yeah, I know Becca. And they're like, yeah, but how do I know Becca? You know, it's you've like, that's what I meant when you've kind of transcended. You're just someone who's like a part of the franchise who's so well known within it. But like, you don't have like a specific story. Like, I remember when you were on Ari season, there was like this whole thing about you went missing or something.
Oh
like,
my God.
I know, like craziness that you just like forget about when I found out you're on the podcast. I'm like, yeah, that's right. She did go missing or there was a story out there. So
missing on a weed farm.
So after the show, how did you meet Grayston?
Yeah. So, and it's funny, I take that as a compliment, but then also it makes me kind of sad sometimes. Like I sort of wish that I had some more time to like be a part of the franchise. I don't know. Like,
but you
I
are
like, I know, but I don't know. I feel like I always do this thing where I like kind of like distance myself from like people or like groups. And then I'm like, and then I am like sad that I'm not a part of things. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, oh man, I wish I was like in with more people, but I'm like, I isolated myself and like didn't make myself a part of the community. And now I'm sad that I'm like not in on things. Like, you know,
well, why do you think that is? Why do you think you isolated yourself?
I don't know. And I don't think it's just in Bachelor. Like it's something that I find myself doing fairly often. Like, I think I just get imposter syndrome and I get in my head and like, I just went on this influencer retreat with my social media management team and they had like all their influencers there. And I was so like stressed out and anxious going into it. I was like, oh my God, like, you know, I don't know, this narrative that's such bullshit of like, oh, I'm not like these people. And it's not in a way of thinking I'm better than anybody. I'm just like, I don't know how to relate. Like, you know, what do we have in common? Like, I don't like dress like that or I don't whatever. And then of course I showed up and a bunch of other people were like, oh, I was anxious for the same reason. And we all got along and hung out and had so much in common. Cause like humans have a lot more in common than like the way they dress or like their hobbies. You know what I mean?
Totally.
So I just feel like I get imposter syndrome and I get in my head and I'm like, I won't have anything to relate to with these people for whatever reason that I've created in my mind, whatever narrative. And so I think I just get anxious and then I just kind of like, you know, close myself off.
Oh, I feel the exact same way. I mean, I think a lot of that I've started to let go, and a big credit to that is Ashley, because she is the prototypical person of like just letting her walls down. We have movers here and she's just got out of the shower in a towel and she's walking around being like, oh, you know, you don't have to do that. Like you can put that in. And my mother-in-law is here, her mom. And she's like, Ashley, put clothes on. She's like, I'm in a towel. I'm covered. But she is just that person who doesn't give a shit. And I love her so much for it. And
yeah, because she's so welcoming also. Like, I mean, whenever I've hung out with her, I'm just like, oh, I feel like totally, you know, in with you. And that's such a good feeling.
She's just the most endearing, wonderful human being. She's so welcoming. She's so down to earth. I know a lot of people ask me, you know, if they see me at Audrey's, you know, they ask about Ashley. And I'm like, Ashley is exactly what you think Ashley is. Yeah. Like whatever you see Ashley on Instagram, that is who Ashley is.
She totally is.
But one of the things, like I remember when I won a Bachelor or Bachelorette, excuse me, and I had the same vibe. I'm like, I'm not going to fit in with any of these guys. These guys are like GQ models, former NFL athletes. Like I'm a kid from Rhode Island with patchy facial hair. Like I'm not fitting in. But then you go in and you realize, like, I remember talking to Ben Higgins and he was like so anxious and terrified. And all these other guys were like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing here. And I'm like, oh, okay. We all don't know what the hell we're doing. That's not so bad.
Totally. Yeah. I had the same experience too. It's like, I went in on The Bachelor and I made like so many friends. I had so much fun and you know, it's like, I don't know. Bonding with people goes, like I said, way beyond like what you're into or who you are.
I mean, obviously, I don't know you that well, but from what I know of you or what I see from you, I feel like you're also someone who just very much obviously speaks your mind. And so I think with groups that are out, I think you just call it how it is. And so sometimes I think specifically, whether it be Bachelor or anything else in life,
yeah,
you probably see both the rights and wrongs of something. So maybe that's why you distance yourself a little bit. We were like, yeah, oh, I mean, you're so cool. But also, like, I don't agree with what you do there. So I don't want to be super close to you.
Totally. And I think I actually get in my head about that too. I'm like, oh my gosh, like, did they hear what I said about this? And like, are they not going to like me because of that? And I've grown so much in the last 4 years, like definitely, especially getting off the show. It was like, I was just saying whatever the popped into my head. And I look back, especially on those first couple years now, and I'm like, damn, why was I trying to like fight everybody and like, you know, just say all these things for shock value? And it's like, I still like doing that every now and then, but I definitely choose my battles a lot more. And I don't know, like I've just, I guess, realized a lot more how words impact people and like how an offhand comment that I think is like funny or I don't think the other person is going to hear about. Dude, I did that for so long. Like I would be on a huge podcast and I would say some shit and be like, oh, they're never going to hear me say that. And then of course, everyone's in their DMs sending that person that clip. And then that person's like, why would you say that? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I don't know why I said that. Just like word vomit. And I don't know, it's something that I've definitely worked on. And I've been on the other end of that too, where someone says something offhandedly about me and I'm like, you know, like devastated. I'm like, how could they say that about me? And, you know, being on the other end of it, it's like, you gotta be, you, I don't know. I'm definitely a lot more mindful.
Yeah.
But let's be honest. It is a pretty fun thing to say outrageous and ridiculous things just to see what happens.
It's so fun. And to troll people, I mean, to troll my audience on Instagram, to troll, I mean, it's a blast.
It's so much
fun.
My therapist always used to tell me, she said, you're the kind of person that likes to dig themselves into as deep a hole as possible just to see if they can get themselves out of it.
Oh.
And it's not a good thing. I'm not like patting myself on the back about it, but it's 100% true. And it extends to like so many facets of my life as well. It's like, well, I don't understand why, but.
I know. I think look, there's a part of it that's positive. Like I love a challenge. So I'm always like, even just like in my personal life, I love doing little challenges, you know, like, like, let's do 100 days of like no drinking, you know, or like, let's do a month of like no eating out at all. Like, I always like doing those little challenges. And like, honestly, I loved giving birth too, because I was like, all right, like, this is going to be like the ultimate challenge. Like, let's prepare, let's overcome. And I don't know, I enjoy that kind of thing. So I guess I can relate to that too, of that feeling of like, yeah, like, let's dig a hole and see if I can get out of it. But I mean, also attention is fun.
Attention is fun. I also think we're living in kind of a new territory era where podcasts have just grown exponentially over the past 5 to 10 years, where, and social media obviously has connected everybody. So you've taken what used to be just living room thoughts, where you would just say things towards the TV and no one would ever hear you. And we've transferred that into a platform, whether it be social media or podcasting. And so I think a lot of times, and I find myself doing it too, where you're watching Bachelorette or recapping or anything in life, just saying Bachelor, because obviously it connects all three of us, that you're like, oh, this person's so effing stupid. And then you say that out loud with other people hearing you. And then of course they tell them and they're like, why would you say that? And you're like, well, I didn't mean it. I just said it. You know?
I'm sure you're a nice guy. Yeah. Like, I'm sure you're a great person.
Yeah, I'm sure you're wonderful. Sorry. But in that moment, you were effing stupid. And I would never tell you that to your face, but I just said it on a podcast. So I guess now I have to say it to your face. So now I'm in this awkward position.
Whoa.
So it's just, it's, you know, because we say things all the time that we don't mean.
I know. And I'm not very good at interpersonal confrontation either, which is the ironic thing. Like, and then, you know, it's like, obviously you can talk mad shit online. And then when you actually come face to face with someone, I'm always like, I'm so sorry. Like, I really like you. And I also really like most people. Like when I meet most people and like, I'm with them one, like in person, one-on-one, I'm usually like, you're really cool. Like, you know, I don't know.
Anytime I have a fan interaction with the show, I always feel like I'm disappointing with my answers. Cause they're like, what's this person like in real life? I'm like, they're nice. Like, I don't know what they're fine. They're like, oh, totally. They're probably such a big dick. And I'm like, no, they're fine. Like, you know, they did some things on the show. Like, I don't know. It's TV. What do you want from me?
Who are you talking about specifically, Jared?
Dean, obviously.
Oh. Well, okay. I guess that's fair.
No, I'm kidding. Who would be a good example of that?
Oh, man. Well,
honestly, a lot of it was Ashley before we were together. people really? Come up, oh my God, just be like, oh my God, she cries all of the time. And she's,
oh, I thought you meant you were talking on her. I was
Before we're together, people come up, be like, she's so crazy. And I'm like, she's not, she's awesome. Yeah. She just cries as an emotional. And they're like, oh, like, I think that people expect me to be like, oh, she's out of her mind. She's insane.
Don't know how long this is gonna last.
I know. Yeah.
Becca, I've got some questions about you and Grayston.
Yeah, yeah.
So you guys are engaged, right?
Yes, we are.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
I don't know where my ring is, but yes, I am engaged.
You've already lost the ring. That's a good start.
At Walmart, there's a whole collection of Black-led products that fit into your daily routine. We encourage you to show Black founders some love, not just during Black History Month, but all year long. There is power in every purchase.
Every time we purchase from a Black-led brand, we make room for another Black-led brand. Black founders and the products they bring to the table are creating a whole new world of choices at Walmart.
Some amazing Black-owned businesses that are available at Walmart include The Lip Bar, Zach and Zoe Honey, Partake Cookies. The list goes on and on. Go to walmart.com/blackandunlimited to discover all the amazing Black-owned products you can add to your daily routine.
True love is always being excited from the first moment you see one another and every time after that. It's taking long walks together in the summer, gazing longingly into each other's eyes, and, well, watching their tail wag when they chase a squirrel in the yard.
The Pedigree brand asked about believing in love at first sight. And honestly, the answer is yes.
Ashley adopted Lois, and I didn't know until I actually picked her up and saw her with my own eyes that we were taking this dog home. But I took one look at Lois, and my life has never been the same, and I love her so much, and I'm very grateful for that moment that Ashley decided to adopt Lois. So it really was love at first sight for me.
Adopting a dog can lead to a lifetime of meaningful connections. A Pedigree loyalty survey revealed that 95% of dog owners say that the bond they have with their dogs is closer than expected. And another Pedigree loyalty survey revealed 90% of first-time dog owners report that having a dog improved at least one relationship in their lives.
We have adopted two dogs. First was Pappy and the second was Alistair. And I got to tell you, I didn't know I could love such a little creature so much. With Pappy, he just stole our hearts right away. He was so attached to us. And even with Alistair, we got him and we fostered at first and then decided to adopt not long after that.
Just a few days after.
They bring so much light into our lives. After we lost Pappy, Kaylin and I agreed to maybe take a couple months off from having a dog in our lives. And not even a week later, we couldn't stand it anymore. There's just so much light that coming home to a dog brings into our lives. And whenever we're on a trip, all we can ever think about is coming back home and seeing Alistair. So I love adoption. I think adopting dogs is the way to go. They are so grateful for it. They definitely love you harder because they know what you took them from and the great life that you're giving them. Real love can exist between pet and pet parent. Pedigree is committed to helping more dogs find loving homes, and we can attest that love at first sight is closer than you think. It's available at your local dog shelter.
Find love at first sight with the Pedigree Adoption Drive June 7th to 9th, and the Pedigree brand will reimburse your dog adoption fees nationwide. Visit pedigree.com/adoption-drive to learn more about the adoption drive and to see full terms and conditions. Everyone knows how much Dean and I love to travel, especially after enduring a Colorado winter. I'll take any chance I can to be in a sunny, beachy place right about now.
Well, Kaylin, I have the perfect place we can travel to next. In Puerto Rico, there are nearly 300 beaches and 300 miles of coastline. And when it comes to photography, the landscape is unbeatable.
I think I need to go there for a relaxing vacation before baby number two comes, which is great, but also I'm very nervous. Puerto Rico offers everything from secluded coves with white sand and crystalline water to beautiful black sand beaches.
There's no passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Well, so as Jared was saying earlier, you're kind of touted as like the bachelor contestant that goes against the grain, right?
Oh,
so
yeah.
I was personally shocked to hear that you guys got engaged. Not for any reason. I knew you guys were in love. You have kids together, all that kind of stuff. But can you talk us through that whole decision-making process, I guess?
Yeah. So, also, I never answered your question, Jared. Like, we met through mutual friends in the rock climbing community. So, actually, he had dated one of my good friends that I knew through climbing. And so, and I knew him through like other people, and I just like always thought he was really hot. And then we met at like a friend's party, and I was like, he's kind of weird, but you know, whatever. And then he just like, I don't know, he just got my number, and then he was like, hey, do you want to come over for dinner? I'll make you dinner like on Wednesday night. And I love that directness, because it was just something I hadn't experienced a lot like in LA. And he was just like, you know, Wednesday night, come over, I'll make you dinner. I was like, okay, cool. And, you know, we did that date. It was great. And it was crazy. I actually like wrote in my like journal that night, really corny, but I was sort of like, I know that I love him, and not like I'm in love with him. Like, I know that I love the person that he is. Like, he's so himself, and like really doesn't care what other people think. Like, people say that sometimes about me, but I care a lot about what other people think. I think about what other people think about me a lot, but he really was just like so free and being himself. And I just loved that about him. And then, yeah, I don't know. He was just like, hey, do you want to hang out next week on Monday and go do this? And I just loved that intentionality, and loved it so much that 3 months later I found out I was pregnant. So there you have it. But that first year in our relationship was really hard. Like, it sucked. Neither of us wanted, we've talked about this before, like on the podcast and stuff, like neither of us wanted to be with each other. There was a lot of resentment. He did not want me to have the baby. We were fucking pissed at each other. I wanted him. I was like, I'll do this on my own. Like, I want you to be out of the picture. Like, please just let me like single parent. And he was like, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to like be a part of your life and be a part of our child's life. And it was really, really hard. And then when she was born, you know, I feel like a lot of couples, when they have a kid, sometimes it can really kind of rock their world and their relationship. And for us, it did, but in a really positive way, because I felt like there was this concept of us having a child, and that was really daunting. And then all of a sudden, she was there, and like, she was perfect, and we were both in love with her. And then we saw the other person being in love with her, and watching the other person parent was just like, I don't know. It was just like immediately everything shifted in our relationship. 2 weeks after that, literally 2 weeks after she was born, he proposed to me, and I was like, what? Like, and at first I was kind of like, yeah. And then it was like 2 hours later, we were like going to bed, and I was like, babe, like not right now. Like, no, and he wasn't like butthurt about it. I was just like, I want this to be, I understand like the sentiment, but I want this decision to be about us. Like, not about that we just had a kid together. And like, you want to seal the deal and show me you're committed. Like, I don't know. It felt so intertwined with like being parents together. And I was just like, I don't want that. So I don't know, like over the years, and I was like, I don't know, why do we even have to get married? You know, we had two kids, like, what's the point? And honestly, like, it came down to both of us really, really want to have like a big party. And I guess we don't technically need a wedding to do that, but I don't know. We were both like, yeah, I mean, let's get married. Why not? Like, we're both committed to be together like for the rest of our lives. And I don't know, like, who knows what our relationship might look like as the years go on. We can both be, I mean, I guess I'm a little more unconventional than he is. His friend the other day was like, Becca, you always like talk about like having, you know, like a non-monogamous relationship, and Gray pretends to go along with it, but he's like the most traditional guy like ever at the heart of him. But so we, I don't know, we just had talked about getting married and all that. And then we're like, you know what, let's do it. Why not? And so we had talked about getting engaged, and I was like, I want to pick out the ring. Like, I want to be a part of it. And so I did like at some point last year. And then, yeah, I didn't know. I knew it was going to happen eventually. So, I mean, when he proposed, it was like not a big surprise thing. So for me, I guess, to answer your question, it feels like something that's just for us. And I think like it's particularly meaningful because we have kids. And doing it at this point in our lives, especially now as our kids are getting a little bit older and we can be a little bit more independent, it's like we're just now starting to do like more of the dating stuff, you know. Now we can go on trips together and like travel together, and honestly, like, it's funny, I was kind of crying a couple days ago, and I was just kind of mourning that, where I was like, I feel really sad sometimes that like we didn't get to do the thing that other people like get to do, like seeing what you and Kaylin are doing, like traveling around, just like living your lives together. Like, I mourn that a lot, for sure, where I'm like, oh my gosh, like we could have had you know, so much fun, and we still can, but it just like looks differently. And so I mourn that, but I think that this is just kind of a special symbol of like, no, we're not just in this because we have kids together. Like, this is a separate commitment that we're making to each other, a romantic commitment to each other, regardless of the kids.
Yeah, no, that's a good way to look at it, I feel like, too. I don't know if you've seen anything, but like Caitlin and I are going through a similar process right now. And it's funny to hear you talk about you and Grayson, because it's kind of the same mindset, really? I'm in as well, where it's like, well, I'm already going to spend the rest of my life with this person anyways. Do I want to get married? Not really. But if the other person wants it, why not? I'll just do it, you know?
Yeah. What does that mean to you, I guess? Like, what is that just from like trauma, like family trauma, like not wanting to get married? Or I guess like what's the thing there?
Yeah, that's a good question. I guess my parents had a really poor marriage, at least like in the latter part of it when I was growing up and old enough to realize kind of what was going on.
Yeah.
So I never had like a good example of what a good marriage looked like, I guess, which is pretty bad. And as much as I hate to say it, like I just think I'm a contrarian like to my core.
Sure.
And the fact that everyone like expects you to get married, wants you to get married, just inherently like makes me so like anti that idea.
It's
like,
annoying.
It's so annoying. It's like, you don't know what's best for me. And yeah. I'm going to prove it to you by showing you the exact opposite and still being happy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. No, people so ask me that all the time. I get that. People ask me that all the time. Well, when are you guys getting married? Like the minute that, when I was, since the beginning of our relationship and when I got pregnant, I was like, when are you guys getting married?
Yeah.
I don't know, dude, back off.
Did you feel a big pressure from like socially from that? Like,
no. 'Cause
you obviously, you know, you're having kids and all that kind of stuff. Did you see like, you know, people comment the most ridiculous things.
Oh my God.
And it's like people you don't even know that have no input on your life, that have no like insight whatsoever, but they're saying the most outrageous, like matter of fact, like this has to happen kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, that stuff doesn't bother me. I mean, it also helps that we live in LA, or like we're in, yeah, it helps that we live in LA, because that's just, I have no one here. Like I felt when I got pregnant at 23 in LA, I felt like I was a teen pregnancy. Like people were just like, oh my God. Like, and it was funny. People's reactions were sort of like, well, why did you keep the baby? Like, that's so weird. Like,
yeah.
People were just like really shocked by that in our community here, I guess. Like all of our, so many of my friends are like in their 30s and don't have kids. I don't feel like I felt like that pressure online. Of course, like people are just always annoying and always have a lot to say. The only stuff that bothers me is when people feel like they know our relationship, and like, it's always the people that are more invested that bother me, where they're like, I've been listening to the podcast and I've just noticed how you always interrupt him. And it just really seems like you have a lot of resentment and you haven't worked through, you know, like those, that kind of thing. Like, it just like, makes me like so furious. Or like, oh, someone the other day, because I was like, I was having like a panic attack, and I called him and he was out getting drinks with friends that he hadn't seen in a long time. And I called him, I was like, I'm freaking out right now. I have this paranoia that like, I'm going to be dosed with like some sort of psychedelic accidentally. And I was like sitting on the couch, like doing something, and I started feeling really weird. And my first thought, my friend had made me muffins, and I know that she microdoses. And my first thought was like, she used the shroom chocolate, like in the muffins. And I started like panicking, like freaking out. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to start tripping right now. And I was just like losing my mind. And I called him, and he's like, babe, we just got like a round of beer. Like, can you wait like 10 minutes? And I got so pissed. But then the funny thing was that me getting pissed at him like brought me down. And I was like, wait, I'm not tripping right now. Like, I'm totally fine. But of course, I posted about that on Instagram. And then someone DM'd me and was like, girl, just so you know, like, you deserve someone who will actually show up.
Oh my God.
Shut the f- up. Like, you don't know us. Leave me alone. But then I'm putting my life out there, so I'm inviting people to comment. You know, it is what it is. How do you feel about that, Dean? Are you always getting people who are commenting on your relationships, on your relationship?
Yeah, relationships. Well, yeah, my relationship with Alistair too, I guess. We talk about it a lot on this podcast, and I'm sure you deal with quite a bit of it as well. Where I'll say like one thing out, you know, in context, it like makes sense with the tone, and then some article or whatever will take it out of context and then put it in print, and it has like a completely different meaning. And then people will see that and then like either attack me or Kaylin because of some, you know, two sentence thing I said snarkily on a podcast, talking to Jared, who's my friend. You know what I mean? So it's like,
that
stuff really bothers me when they don't know anything and they see like one little headline and they're like, oh, I'm gonna go voice my disagreement with this on his Instagram page, you know?
And also things taken out of context are so frustrating. I've had that happen a lot with the podcast too, where people will even like, you know, on YouTube or whatever, will isolate like a 30-second clip and make you sound like a total fucking freak. And I'm like, yeah. No, dude, like that's not, oh my God, like listen to the full conversation here. That's really frustrating. But no, I read one of those articles where it was like, so you said something about like, you don't like saying the word love or something like that. And it made you sound like really stupid.
Yeah.
like a dick.
To be honest, I am really stupid. There's no question about that. But they make me sound even stupider, which is the more frustrating part. It's like, let me be as stupid as I am. You don't need
hear it from my mouth.
Yeah, you don't need to help me make me look more stupid. Okay.
Yeah. Exactly. So that's pretty frustrating. I guess there's like even a bigger problem with that too. Like, who cares about some stupid reality TV people like that's happening on like a larger scale politically and geopolitically and all that kind of stuff. But there's a bigger issue there. It's really frustrating. It doesn't affect me so much. Like, I could mostly care less. What really bothers me is how Kaylin seems to be bothered by it a little bit more, just because she, you know, she always talks about, it's funny, my relationship with Kaylin is a lot like Jared and Ashley's, like where Ashley will say anything for whatever reason and not care about the consequences. And Jared kind of had to like get used to that whole lifestyle. And Kaylin is Jared in this case, where I'll go out on a limb or a tangent and say something ridiculous because I don't really care about the repercussions. You know, you can talk shit about me all you want. I don't personally mind. But she's like, tone it down a little bit. Like, I don't want people talking crap about us as a couple. Yeah. And I'm trying to like reel it back in and respect that a little bit. But
yeah,
she definitely takes it a little bit harder sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, there's stuff that I've had to be more mindful of just keeping private. Just like, I don't know, just certain struggles in the relationship or this or that. Like, I've definitely set more boundaries over time where I'm like, I don't need to let people in on this. Like, this is between us, or like, this is between me and this person, whoever that is. And like, I don't really need to talk about that to the world. It's not really any of their business. But that takes that, I don't know, it takes thinking about it, which, you know, there's a lot of things I say that I don't really think about before I do it. So I feel like that's an important part of it.
I'm kind
of
in the vein where it's like, if it's happening to me, unless there's like other people involved that are like very clearly saying they don't want it talked about, I'm like, if it's happening to me, I don't care to talk. Like, as long as it's real life, I'll talk about it to like the fullest extent of the truth. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because a lot of people do provide like a cushion for a lot of the stuff that they're talking about because they don't want to be like criticized.
And honestly, I think the people that get the most upset about it, I think that they feel jealous that they can't express themselves freely about the same thing. You know what I mean? Like, people project their issues, like when you're talking about your relationship and being like, yeah, we're struggling. And the people are like, well, you need to dump him. I'm like, I always think, I'm like, what are you going through in your relationship?
Exactly.
Or like, you know, like, it's, you're projecting something onto the situation, because it's pretty normal to be in conflict, to have struggles, to question like how you want to be tied to someone. Just, to, I don't know. Wait, so you guys are thinking about getting engaged and married, though?
Yeah, we are. That's kind of why I wanted to ask you about it. Well,
yeah.
We are going to do those things. It's funny because we've talked about it so much, and I've talked about it on here quite a bit, too. I'm always worried I'm, like, removing a bit of the romance from it, too, where it's like, you know, it's not much of a surprise anymore. It's, like, over-communicated at this point. But we've agreed that we're both going to propose to each other at some point and then get married. And because, like you said, like, you know, I have every intention to spend the rest of my life with her. I don't want to get married, but she does. And so it's like, well, if we're already spending our lives together, why not just get married?
So who's going to propose first?
I don't know. I know when I'm doing it and where I'm doing it, but I have no idea when and where she's doing it.
Well,
that's fun.
That's so much fun. Who's your money on, Dean?
My money's on me doing it first. I think she's waiting for me to do it first before she pulls the trigger.
I would agree.
I think
so, too.
Yeah.
That's fun. I think, like, yeah, it's kind of funny. I understand what you're saying about taking the romance out of it too, for sure. Cause he was like telling me also about the plan that he had. Like, at one point he was talking about doing a flash mob and I was like, no, don't do that. Like, please don't do that. He's right Dodger here looking Stadium. At me. Like, Dodger Stadium. Like, no, absolutely not.
Well, tell Grayson he can propose to me with a flash mob. That sounds fun.
Jared says you can propose to him with a flash mob at Dodger Stadium. He's down for it. Yeah, it's funny. I feel almost like self-conscious or embarrassed about like our about like love. Like when someone asks me like, oh, are you guys in love? It's like such a, it makes me really uncomfortable for some weird reason. And I don't really know why. Or like when people are like, oh my God, like tell me all about your engagement. Like not in this context, but like even like a close friend, I'm kind of like there's something about it that just kind of makes me, I don't know. I feel like weirdly private when I'm talking about like expressing my like affection or like our relationship. It just, yeah, I don't like, yeah, I don't know. It just makes me feel weird. I don't care when other people do, but I just feel really weird about being like, we're in love.
And yeah.
Like, yeah.
Like so many, I don't know.
Do you think you feel weird about telling them because you're afraid that you're not going to live up to like their expectations? Because that's what I get at. That's what I think about all the time. Not like it's there, but it's just like, of course they're like, oh, how much are you in love with Ashley? I'm like, I'm in love with her. I love my wife. I love her all the time. But like, you know, it's a marriage. So I don't know. I think people just have this expectation, especially when you're on a dating show, that you're like, constantly in the mindset of like being on top of the mountain with the loved one and like,
oh my God,
you know, just like every minute of every day being like, do you know how much I love you? Do you know how much I'm in love with you? And it's like, of course I love my wife, but like there, you know, it's like a regular old marriage, guys. I don't know what to
tell
you.
It's also like a part of your life, right? Like, and I think people get uncomfortable with this, but it's also like a part of my life. Like my relationship to him isn't like, I got a lot going on. Yeah. Like it's a part of my life, a really, really important, one of the most important parts of my life for sure. But yeah, like I think especially it's like, we're both business owners. Like we're both like got so much going on and yeah, I don't know, but I think you're right. I think it's living up to people's expectations. And I also think I compare myself to other people. And honestly, like sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh, like I don't think I could, you know, ever have a relationship like that. Or like, you know, I think our relationship has already been through so many ups and downs in the few years that we've been together. And I feel super secure in it. But sometimes I'm like, I don't know, like, do we have like a relationship like they do? Or like, they
yeah,
do?
But you know what? I'm such a troll. Like I'm sure all three of us probably in the same mindset. Anytime I see like a lovey dovey post when two people, I'm like, they're breaking up in a month. Like it's going to be over in no time.
30 days.
Seriously.
I agree. I think it's ridiculous. I do. I mean, I'm culprit number one when it comes to posting cutesy shit on Instagram. But when it comes to the podcast, I'm always willing and happy to like talk about the things we're struggling with because not many people talk about that stuff. And to Jared's point, it's like not every relationship is lovey-dovey standing on the top of the mountain with your loved one. Like, because yeah. I feel the same way, Becca. Whenever anyone asks me about like how much I love Kaylin, which I love her to death, and you know I'm incredibly lucky to be with her, I like freeze up because I'm like, I don't know what to say. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like an awkward thing to talk about for me. So
totally.
And that kind of like gets me in trouble sometimes
too. I think Dean, I do this too. I express my love through humor. So like if somebody's how much are you in love with Ashley? I'm like, yeah, she's fine.
Also, like, I don't know, it's something my therapist has gotten on me about is she's like, you say everything with like a smile and a laugh. Like she's like, you could be talking about your family member getting murdered and I'll be like, yeah, and that happened. And like, yeah, fucking crazy, right?
And sliced and
like,
diced.
Saying it like that. Yeah. and she's just kind of like, okay, like you're saying that with a smile on your face, but like, that's really serious for you. And I'm like, I'm not holding back tears. I just like don't. And I think that's just a vulnerability thing. And it's like, I think there's ways that I'm really good at being vulnerable. Like what you're talking about, Dean, like I can talk openly about the things that I'm going through and I'm not afraid to hide that. I'm not ashamed of like this or that, that other people might be really scared to talk about. But it's difficult for me to get vulnerable. I mean, even with Gray sometimes, like it's difficult for me to like really get past the barrier and be like, I don't know, to even recognize what I am going through sometimes and then to open up in that way. Like a lot of times my co-host will like start talking about something and will like cry on the podcast. And I'm just sitting there like I feel it, but like my emotions are not caught up to the weight of the experience. So that's definitely something I just struggle with in general. It's like,
I feel like you and I might be long lost brother and sister because yeah, everything you're describing, I'm like, yep, right here too. Or this guy right here too.
I think it's a protective mechanism, you know, it's like, I think that, and I think I pride myself so much on being tough. Like that's something I really realized lately. Like, you know, like I said, even when it comes to physical stuff, like giving birth, I'm like, I'm so tough. Like, I don't need, you know, I don't need this. I don't need that. Like I got it. And, I don't know. I think it's just like a protective thing in a way of, And I've realized a lot on social media and the podcast too, I put off this like tough exterior, but I'm very sensitive, you know, like I definitely get very in my head about what people say and people, it's so funny. Like recently I've had a couple people comment just like super out of pocket shit, and I don't really comment back a lot anymore, but I commented back and be like, yo, that's mean. Like sometimes I'll just do that now. Like that hurts my feelings. And it's very disarming for people, I think. And someone commented back like, oh, I thought you like when people are like kind of sparring with you. And I'm like, no, like that hurts my feelings. Like I'm a normal person, but I think I put up a tough exterior a lot and people think that like, you know, I'm just down with fighting with everyone all the time. And I'm like, no, you know, yeah. Like, I want to be loved too.
And it's funny commenting back to those people too, because a lot of times I feel like they just throw up like a troll comment, not expecting to hear anything back. And then they see that the person is actually writing them back and they're like, oh wait, okay, sorry. Maybe I should reconsider what I say before say it.
Oh yeah. I've definitely gotten DMs and comments back that are like, I'm so sorry. Like I didn't think you were going to say this. Why'd you comment
it? What do you think you're doing? Who do you think you're talking to? Like I'm a human being on the other side of this.
At Walmart, there's a whole collection of Black-led products that fit into your daily routine. We encourage you to show Black founders some love, not just during Black History Month, but all year long. There is power in every purchase.
Every time we purchase from a Black-led brand, we make room for another Black-led brand. Black founders and the products they bring to the table are creating a whole new world of choices at Walmart.
Some amazing Black-owned businesses that are available at Walmart include The Lip Bar, Zach and Zoe Honey, Partake Cookies. The list goes on and on. Go to walmart.com/blackandunlimited to discover all the amazing Black-owned products you can add to your daily routine.
True love is always being excited from the first moment you see one another and every time after that. It's taking long walks together in the summer, gazing longingly into each other's eyes, and, well, watching their tail wag when they chase a squirrel in the yard.
The Pedigree brand asked about believing in love at first sight, and honestly, the answer is yes.
Ashley adopted Lois, and I didn't know until I actually picked her up and saw her with my own eyes that we were taking this dog home. But I took one look at Lois, and my life has never been the same, and I love her so much, and I'm very grateful for that moment that Ashley decided to adopt Lois. So it really was love at first sight for me.
Adopting a dog can lead to a lifetime of meaningful connections. A Pedigree loyalty survey revealed that 95% of dog owners say that the bond they have with their dogs is closer than expected. And another Pedigree loyalty survey revealed 90% of first-time dog owners report that having a dog improved at least one relationship in their lives.
We have adopted two dogs. First was Pappy and the second was Alistair. And I got to tell you, I didn't know I could love such a little creature so much. With Pappy, he just stole our hearts right away. He was so attached to us. And even with Alistair, we got him and we fostered at first and then decided to adopt not long after that.
Just a few days after.
They bring so much light into our lives. After we lost Pappy, Kaylin and I agreed to maybe take a couple months off from having a dog in our lives. And not even a week later, we couldn't stand it anymore. There's just so much light that coming home to a dog brings into our lives. And whenever we're on a trip, all we can ever think about is coming back home and seeing Alistair. So I love adoption. I think adopting dogs is the way to go. They are so grateful for it. They definitely love you harder because they know what you took them from and the great life that you're giving them.
Real love can exist between pet and pet parent. Pedigree is committed to helping more dogs find loving homes, and we can attest that love at first sight is closer than you think. It's available at your local dog shelter.
Find love at first sight with the Pedigree Adoption Drive June 7th to 9th, and the Pedigree brand will reimburse your dog adoption fees nationwide. Visit pedigree.com/adoption-drive to learn more about the adoption drive and to see full terms and conditions.
Everyone knows how much Dean and I love to travel, especially after enduring a Colorado winter. I'll take any chance I can to be in a sunny, beachy place right about now.
Well, Kaylin, I have the perfect place we can travel to next. In Puerto Rico, there are nearly 300 beaches and 300 miles of coastline. And when it comes to photography, the landscape is unbeatable.
I think I need to go there for a relaxing vacation before baby number two comes, which is great, but also I'm very nervous. Puerto Rico offers everything from secluded coves with white sand and crystalline water to beautiful black sand beaches.
There's no passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
I got one more question for you. So now that you guys are engaged, what is the wedding planning situation like? Can you fill us in on that?
We are, he and I are so, I mean, I'm excited because we're so on the same page. We're like, we were like talking about it. I'm like, okay, like what are the vibes you want for our wedding? He's like, think like Great Gatsby carnival. And I'm like, amazing. I want a Ferris wheel at our wedding too. And we're like, okay, sweet. So we just, I don't know. We just want to like, we're so into all these goofy ideas where we're like, okay, walking into the ceremony, like champagne and caviar, and then walking out of the ceremony, like mozzarella sticks and corn dogs for everyone, like before, like we do photos or whatever. And we just like have this, like all these fun ideas about like how we want to entertain people. And like, ultimately we just want like all of our loved ones to have a great time. And so I think it's really fun getting creative about that of like, okay, we got to make sure there's food at all times. We're going to have a taco truck like during the dance floor. Like, I don't know, just like all of that stuff. We've just had a blast. We have literally no concrete plans, but we have a lot of concepts going around. So that's been fun.
That's good to hear, because I feel like every time I hear about people planning their weddings, they always talk about how stressful it is. So it's good to hear that you guys are having a good time planning.
We haven't done any planning.
Oh, it's just more like ideation.
Yeah, people are like, do you have a date? I'm like, no, we don't know where we're having it or what we're doing. Like, no, absolutely not. So I guess we got to get on that. But that does sound a little bit
stressful. It's always so much fun wedding planning and coming up with the concept and the ideas. But then it gets to like,
the money.
Right, yeah, the money one. But also like, all right, so forks. What kind of forks do you want? You're like, you got to be kidding me. We're really having a conversation about forks right now. Get the hell out of here. I want to talk about food and Ferris wheels and the dragon roller coaster. That's what
I
got to
say
about.
Though, the forks at your wedding were mint.
Top notch.
Top notch forks.
Pretty good. That was all Ashley.
Yeah. I mean, I think we have all these great ideas too, where we're like 500 people Ferris wheel. And then we're probably looking at like a $150,000 wedding. Like that's not going to happen. So we're probably going to have to tame down a lot of our ideas. Dean, do you think you guys will do something private or like something like, do you think you'll have a big bash for the actual wedding?
We're going to elope. I hope. That's my dream. I told Kaylin my original plan, I guess I can share this. I've never actually shared this before. So my brother just got married in Tahoe. He proposed on a Friday. They got married on a Saturday. And I'm kind of pissed because he stole my idea. My original plan, I told Kaylin this, was to take her to Patagonia in South America, propose at Torres del Paine National Park down there, and then fly directly to Italy and get married in Italy.
Ooh,
and then fly
romantic.
Directly to New Zealand and honeymoon in New Zealand. Ooh. And that was like my original romantic, huge gesture plan. But that's obviously not going to happen anymore. I think it's...
Why
it's,
though? Who cares?
Well, no, I just, I don't know. I thought I was being a little too selfish with that. Oh. Like I was like, oh, I don't want a big wedding. So let's just elope in Italy right now. That was kind of... Like, it seemed like really great up here, and I'm sure Kaylin would have loved it, but I at least want her to have, like, a big say in how the rest of it happens, I guess.
That's true, and, like, if she wants her family there, yeah. And, like, that kind of thing is probably
right, and
really
that's a big part about it, too. I've got, like, a big fear of inviting people to stuff and not having them show up, so I don't imagine us having a very big wedding. I think it'll be, like, family only.
I'm afraid no one's going to show up to your wedding. I think everyone will.
No, I know they would. And then also, like, I never had a MySpace in middle school because I'm so scared of, like, ranking my friends. And so to have, like, a best man and then groomsmen is, like, terrifying to me. Where it's like, hey, you're my number one best friend and you're my number three best friend.
Okay, you know, what? Someone did at a wedding recently that I really liked. They had, like... because we both have like a lot of close friends that we've had for a really long time. They had like 10 bridesmaids and groomsmen, but they only chose like one person stand up there and it was like their sibling. So they had all these people that like kind of dressed as like their in crowd. And then they just had like their, you know, their sibling like standing up next to them at the ceremony.
That's a good idea.
Listen, that was cute. It's not the groomsmen or the bridesmaids that's going to give you stress. It's going to be the invitations, because there's going to be people that you just can't fit into your wedding that will that are like on the plan B. And that is by far the worst part, because you really love them, you do, but it's like, especially like the people, get ready for the people that you haven't spoken to in like 5 years that you used to be close with that you're not close with anymore. And you're like, I haven't talked to them in like 4 years. Do I invite them? Are they gonna like, do I, you know?
Jared, did you personally have any awkward encounters after your wedding where people were like upset that they didn't get invited?
No. Nothing like that. But like I've been invited to people's weddings who I haven't talked to in years that I didn't invite to my own. And I was like, oh no, was I the biggest asshole for not inviting you? I didn't even think about you. We haven't spoken in 5 years. Why are you inviting me to your wedding?
Yeah. So that's the weird part. Just trying to fill chairs.
I had an experience like that too. One of my best friends from high school got married and invited me and a couple other friends to his wedding, and we both just kind of didn't go. But it's like, come on, we haven't talked in 7 years. Like,
so you didn't go?
What's the point? I just didn't go. We just didn't go. We like collectively decided we weren't going to go.
Did you RSVP no?
We RSVP'd no. Yep.
All right. That's good.
Yeah.
But don't you think weddings are fun?
Oh.
You don't like weddings?
No.
Not really. I mean, I guess.
Do you think they're
fun?
Weddings.
What's fun about them?
We just sit there. I mean, okay, dancing, drinking, like with a bunch of, I mean, usually it's people that we know, I guess. So I guess if you're going, okay, I get that. If someone you don't know very well, but I mean, I feel like even if you have friends from high school and you guys are all going, then it can like, you can make it into a thing. I think that's fun. And then also the last wedding that Gray and I went to, we just sat there and we just like critiqued everything. We were like, during the ceremony, like something went wrong. And I was like, do you think they're going to last? Like, was that like a sign? Like it just started raining, like right after the ceremony ended. Like that seems like an omen, you know, like I saw ravens flying up ahead. And then like, you know, just, I don't know. We're like, okay, if I would like, they took photos for way too long. Like, let's not do that for ours. I mean, maybe it's just because we're talking about our wedding. We're having fun with that too. But
have you been? No, good. Have you been to a wedding?
What you like and don't like?
Yeah, have you been to a wedding for Grayson's friends? Like people that you
only his friends. He has so many friends. Like everybody is his bestie, and we have like 4 weddings this summer. They're all his friends. And he still has like a giant crew of like 20 friends from high school and 20 friends from college that he's still super close with.
And you still find those fun?
I do. I mean, they're fun people. They are party people. That's for sure. Yeah. Except this wedding that we went to recently. Okay, wait, I got to tell you guys this because this just really drove me nuts. So the wedding that we went to recently was for his old roommate. And she's very beautiful. And because he also has a tendency to overshare, he's like, you know, there was so much sexual tension when we were living together. And then after we stopped living together, one night we hooked up and it was like, oh my God, it was amazing. Like, why haven't we done this sooner? And then she moved away. And then I went out to visit her. You know, he tells me like everything. And sometimes I ask for it, and then sometimes I'm like, bro, why did you?
Dude, if I went to a wedding like that and I told Ashley that story, we wouldn't be going to that wedding.
So then he flew out to go see her, but then she had actually just started dating a new guy, and then that guy was the guy she was getting married to at this wedding. So I already know all this. By the way, also, this is kind of normal because he is friends with so many people that he's dated or slept with. And so I am around girls all the time who he's had some prior entanglement with. So I've had to just kind of buck up and deal with it. And it's just, you know, I guess it's a good sign though too. He hasn't burned all these bridges with women that he used to date or have a thing with. So that's a positive. But anyway, I'm sitting there and it's like an hour of speeches during the reception. And they're all just talking about how wonderful she is and how amazing she is. And I'm just sitting there like just, and then I'm watching him looking at her and I'm just like, I'll never be her. And I was just getting like so mad. And then a couple of his friends were at the table and they like looked to each other crying. They're like, we're so lucky to have her in our life. And I was like, that's it. I'm done with this. And I actually kind of like freaked out for a minute and I went back to the Airbnb and then I like laid down and scrolled on my phone for a little bit, recollected myself and went back out and partied. But it was, it just was the last straw for me. I was like, I am over this. So yeah.
So weddings are only fun when that doesn't happen.
When your partner hasn't slept with the bride. Yes. Yeah. And everyone's talking about how wonderful she is. Yeah. That's not super fun to deal with.
But hey, kudos to you for being able to deal with that. I mean, in your own way, to whatever extent, you know, like that takes a lot of willpower and a lot of, I don't know, just willpower, I guess.
Look, bitch, at the end of the day, he's with me and the ring's on my fingers. So, you know, what are you going to do?
And then at your wedding, they're going to be saying the same shit about you. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be a couple girls in the audience that storm out, go to the Airbnb and sit on their phones. Becca, we got to let you, I guess we got to wrap up this episode. Before we do, I've wanted to ask this the entire time. Do we expect the wedding before or after the next group of kids on the way.
Oh my God. That's the thing. That's literally the thing. I want to do this wedding before we have more kids for sure. But it's just, you know, there's a lot going on. We have to build, oh my God, I could just talk forever. But I just went to this workshop where I learned how to build houses out of cob. Do you know what that is?
Mm-mm.
It's like clay and sand and straw. And you can build like these amazing houses out of just like materials that are on your property. And it's like an ancient building technique. Anyway, so now my big thing is I want to build a house on a property like in the mountains out of cob. And I want to do that before we have our next babies, because I want to have one of the babies in the cob house.
Nice.
So we got to build a house. We got to do the wedding. We got to do a lot before we have more kids.
I'm not going to lie. This kind of sounds like the beginning of the Three Little Pigs. So I would just be careful if there's any like big bad wolves around. But other than that, it sounds like a great idea.
Thanks, Jared. Thanks for that advice.
All right. So we'll keep an eye on the cobs. We'll keep an eye on baby number three. We'll keep an eye on the wedding. Lots to look forward to in Becca's life. Becca, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. If you're listening to this right now and you haven't listened to any of Becca's 95 podcasts, be sure to check her out. Chatty Broads, YouTube, Spotify. I'm sure you're all over the place.
At Becca on Instagram.
At Becca. You got just the straight up at Becca. I remember I saw you do that and I messaged you and I was like, how did you get that?
$750.
That's such a good deal. The guy that owns Dean just at Dean messaged me and tried to sell it to me for $10,000. And I considered it. I really did. But I'm so glad I didn't. I'm a Dean baby.
It's a write-off.
It's a write-off. But thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. We had a blast.
Bye, guys. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you, Becca.
Follow Help by Suck at Dating on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It's time to celebrate Black History Month at the Walmart Black and Unlimited Clock.
On Thursday, February 29th, from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., you can celebrate an extra day of Black History Month with Walmart. This event is free and open to the public at two locations: Flatiron Plaza in New York City and Ovation Hollywood in Los Angeles.
With giveaways dropping every hour on the hour, it's the perfect time to try, like, and share Black Lead products.
It's free, it's for everyone, and it's your chance to see how you can level up your daily routine with Black Lead products that are creating a new world of choices at Walmart.
Trust, you don't want to miss it.
Love at First Sight still exists. It's available at your local shelter.
This June 7th to 9th, join the Pedigree Adoption Drive, and the Pedigree brand will reimburse your dog adoption fees nationwide. Pedigree knows that bringing a dog into your home not only opens their heart, it can open yours too.
Visit pedigree.com/adoption-drive to learn more and see full terms and conditions.
Boricua is the name for someone from Puerto Rico, but it's more than a name. It's a way of life and representation of the vibrant spirit of the island.
Let the Boricua spirit welcome you with a warm embrace to start each day and remind you why you travel in the first place.
In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. With nearly 300 beaches and 300 miles of coastline, there's always new places to explore.
The island's diverse geography offers everything from secluded coves with white sand and crystalline water to stunning black sand beaches. There are spots that are perfect for water sports. You can surf, snorkel, paddleboard, or go diving.
To travel to Puerto Rico, there is no passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.